kind of a contest with God. I've told some of you this before, and it really had to do with the fact that I had lost my father in the Vietnam War at the age of 10, and somehow at the age of 20, that all came crashing down in my head, and I wanted to know why this thing would happen to me this way. And so I went on for many years that way. I became an Air Force officer in the meanwhile and went to flight school to be a navigator and was in school with a fellow named Walter Price. And the reason I'm thinking of Walter is because I just saw him this last summer for the first time in about 30 years. And he is a great man of God. And he was a living example of what God wanted me to be like at that point in my life, but I wasn't really interested in being like that because I was busy with engaging with God, sort of, we had each other by the lapels. So we both went our ways after flight school. I went to AWACS out in Oklahoma, and he went to fly tankers in Arkansas, and I think we probably refueled together during those years, but lost track of each other otherwise. And years later, we ended up in Wright-Patterson Air Force Base together again. And I was at the end of 10 years of this dysfunctional relationship with God, and he was still walking with God. And I was really annoyed with him for being like this, but he persisted and he insisted. And at the end of that time there together, I had brought my family back to church, and we were walking with the Lord again. Because this man had faith, and he had faith enough to bring me along. And it made all the difference in the world. And that's what many of us need who are believers already, and many of us have friends who have that very same need. And so now in our passage today in the book of Luke, I hope you're still open there, chapter 5 and verse 17. We're continuing on with Luke and this journey with Jesus in which we see him missing opportunities for a great PR campaign, but taking the opportunity to bring home a truth that is hard to accept. And we all have truths that are hard to accept in our life. And we have to get to that truth. We have to actually accept what God has said and trust him with our life. And that can be hard to do. So it begins out saying here that one day as he was teaching, Pharisees and teachers of the law who had come from every village of Galilee and from Judea. This is the first time in Luke that these folks are mentioned. Nazareth is way out in the sticks. And so for the Pharisees and the teachers of the law to show up to hear Jesus, he was getting some attention. And they wanted to know who this fellow was because people were asking them about him. And so they came to listen to his teaching. Now, the Lord was going to make healing part of this thing that happened today. Let's look at the end of the verse here. It says, right after it says these people from Jerusalem were sitting there, it says the power of the Lord was present to heal the sick. And so he introduces this into the story because it's going to be an important part of the story. Healing to get God's message across. And so the faith of the paralytic friends is what really got their attention here. Let's look at verse 20. When Jesus saw the faith of the people who lowered this man down through the roof, that's when he said, your sins are forgiven. But it was really, he noticed, wow, you guys dug a hole through the roof. You see, the other gospels tell this story, and it tells us a little bit of the rest of the story, that they were actually, I think they were at Capernaum at this point. And so Jesus was teaching, and these people believed that Jesus could and would heal them. And they did not care about all the people from out of town who were there, who were dressed very nicely in their city clothes. They just didn't care one bit. They believed that Jesus could heal, and so they were going to get their friend, this paralytic, to Jesus. And so Jesus looks at this man, and he says something completely unexpected. "Friend, your sins are forgiven." Wow. Well, that's not really what I came here for. But everyone there, it's probably a pretty good assumption that everyone there assumed that this man's paralyzed condition had something to do with either his sins or his parents' sins. You see that in the Gospel of John when someone asked Jesus, "Lord, why is this man in this ill condition? Was it his sins or the sins of his parents?" And Jesus says, "Neither. It's so God can be glorified today." But that was an assumption, and it's probably the guy who was paralyzed thought that as well. But Jesus has to go and ruin another perfect PR moment. He could have tripled his ministry at this point, but he has to say something about forgiving sins. And the reason he says it is because it's the most important thing he can say right there. He ruined a PR opportunity in the last story we read where he was at the synagogue at Nazareth. You remember? He had him right in the palms of his hands, and then he had to go and start talking about how the scripture was being fulfilled today and God loves Gentiles too. And so it made them all furious, and they wanted to kill him. Jesus seems to do this a lot. He's doing ministry that is not successful by the world's standards. That's a big clue for us. We need to speak the truth. We need to speak the truth and let God do his work, not just filling up more seats, not just having a bigger show, but speak what God is speaking. Let the truth come up out of his word. So Jesus opens up a whole can of worms. I mean, they're thinking, so he's saying to this man, "Your sins are forgiven." What? Your sins are forgiven. You have to go to the temple to get your sins forgiven. Can Jesus replace the whole temple sacrificial system? Is that what this man is saying? Can Jesus act in the place of God? Only God can forgive sins. Does he take God's prerogative away from him? Will Jesus bring down the glory of God on himself? Is he a blasphemer? I mean, if somebody came into our meeting today and said, "I forgive your sins," we might say, "Who are you and why are you saying that?" You know, they had a right to ask those questions. But Jesus brings it home. Now wait a minute, he called himself the Son of Man. He called himself the Son of Man. He says, "But that you may know that the Son of Man has authority on earth to forgive sins." Who's the Son of Man? Well, it shows up a lot in the Old Testament. It shows up in the prophets, but especially it shows up in the book of Daniel, where the Son of Man is somebody who is greater than just a prophet. The Son of Man is someone who stands before God himself and receives great glory and honor. Wow. So that's what this guy is. So Jesus says, "Okay, I see your problem. I see what you're, I understand what you're thinking, that I'm blaspheming him. Fair enough. Which is easier? Which is easier to say to the man, get up and take your mat, or to say to him, your sins are forgiven? That's a good question. Which is easier? Really, it should be harder to get your sins forgiven, right? But it's not really provable. You can't, it's nothing you can see, right? The healing should be easier, but it's actually impossible. I don't know anybody that can do it, and I don't know anybody that knows anybody that can do it, and I don't know anybody who knows anyone who's ever done it. So actually, that's not so easy either, maybe. But if you see a miracle like that, a real one, not the TV staged kind, if you see a real healing, then you are now in the category of being without excuse. I have to do something about this because this means something. I have to decide what this means. Whatever does this mean? You have to respond. Is the healer for real? And if he is, where is this power coming from? The point is this: God is behind the ministry and teaching of Jesus. Don't miss this. That's, in fact, why people were coming. That's why the authorities from Jerusalem were there. Because Jesus has the authority to heal, and therefore, he says, I also have the authority to forgive sins, because they come together. When God is acting, God is acting, and he can do what he wants. Now, you have this tremendous crowd. The house is full, there's people outside, and they're blocking access to Jesus. And that really, that symbolizes all their assumption that this paralytic was a sinner. They weren't just letting him through. They were looking at him more like, you know, you probably had it coming, and you really don't have any business being here, coming to this house today. And Jesus clears both of those issues up about who he is and whether the man can be forgiven by Jesus. The man came for medical help, and what he got was whole self, shalom, completeness, fulfillment, peace. He got soul healing. He got body healing, the whole deal. The man was carried in on a stretcher, lowered in on a stretcher through the roof, and walked out through the door with his stretcher and his sins forgiven. He got saved. And the faith that was expressed by his friends who brought him. Faith was expressed as getting someone closer to Jesus. That's what we need. We need to get close to him. We need to find out who he is. God is seeking those who are seeking him. Are you convinced that Jesus saves? Do you believe that? If you do, are you saved? Are you getting closer to him? Are you letting someone bring you to him? If you believe that, are you bringing someone else close to him? All the people in that room probably had, none of them had the understanding about Jesus. They didn't understand what the theology of the whole thing was. They were wrong about him. They had wrong assumptions. They had wrong assumptions about sin and the guy who was paralyzed. Lots of people come with wrong ideas, but they still need Jesus. So this is the question: who's paralyzed in my life? Who do I know? Is it me? Who can't get to Jesus because they just can't go there? Are you stuck? Are you stuck? I can come this close, but I can't come any closer. Yes, I know what I saw. Yes, I believe the evidence. Yes, I believe that Jesus was raised from the dead. But I just can't go there. Not yet. Are you stuck in terms of yourself? Are you stuck in terms of your friend? Have you got a way to get there? Will you go out of your way to bring someone else there? Will you take a chance? Is your friend unable to get there? Is your friend's name on your My World list? My World list, there's a stack of them sitting out in the narthex. I know of two small groups that have, or I know of three actually now, that have sat down, filled out those sheets, written down those 8 to 15 people, and spent a little bit of time during their prayer time for all their needs and all the needs of the congregation, took a little silent time in there for everyone to pray for the people that God has put in their world. It's not about making someone a statistic. It's about, God, how can I bless the people that you've put into my orbit? Are some of those people paralyzed? And if they're paralyzed, can you bring them there? What are they paralyzed by? Same thing you and I are paralyzed by fear. God, you don't know where I've been and you don't know what I've done. Or I can't even talk to him. God could never forgive what I've done. I'm such a mess. It's not the God I know. He knows all about your mess. He knows all about my mess. Paralyzed. Paralyzed by depression. I have tried and I have tried, but it just won't work. I have tried to get better and to be better so that I could come before Jesus. How much better was the paralyzed guy? He was paralyzed. You just need to get to Jesus. You don't get ready to go see him. You just go see him. That's the whole point. That's why you need to go see him. Because you're not ready to meet him yet. I'm trying to earn my way. I'm trying to get myself better. Get over my addiction. My addictions. Nope, you're not going to get over them. You don't have what it takes to get better enough to get in front of him. That's the problem. So he says, just come. Just trust me with this. I can fix what your problem is. Bitterness. There's just no way to win. I'm damaged. We are all damaged. We are all marred. Our visage is marred. We are made in the image of God, and in some of us, you can't even recognize it before we come to the Lord. And he is in the business of restoring, making completely new this person, this me, this new man, this new woman. All these things. Anger. Well, you know, if there was a God, bad things wouldn't happen. Life is just unjust and it's unfair. Who made it that way? I don't think it was God who made it that way. I think that's a human problem. I think it will continue to be a human problem. And so many people paralyzed by all these things. And the thing that paralyzes you is likely not the most central issue. Jesus may look at you and you think you got this problem and you got that problem and you got that problem. And he may look at you and say something completely different. In fact, I almost can guarantee it. If you say, well, I'm addicted to this, and I'm an angry person, I'm a depressed person, I'm bitter, I'm this, I'm that, he will say to you, let me forgive your sins. Let me start there. You need to be a new person. You need to be born from above, born again. Jesus knows where you need to start. He knows that you need new life. So the question is, what will you do? What will you do like that man's friends did? What will you do in faith? You have to trust him. Jesus changed me. Why wouldn't he want to help my friends? Why wouldn't he want to help the people on my list, my neighbors, my people at school and at work? Of course he does. And that's why he sent me. That's why he sent you. So will you be determined? You know, despite what is paralyzing you or what is paralyzing them, will you work together with other people to get this done? Working with other people, we try to facilitate that through our small groups. Those are some other people that you can work with. There's other people here who have the same problem. I have friends who are paralyzed, and I need somebody to help me bring them to Jesus. I need to figure out a way. I need to help them. I need to talk to them. I don't know how to talk to them, really. Bring a friend. Bring two friends. Whatever they need. Will you do what it takes? Will you take some time? That's what these guys had to do. They had to take time. I mean, you don't just do that, you know, okay, we got to get this thing. And then they had to find something to lower this stretcher down with, and they had to take the time to climb up on the roof, to get him up on the roof, up some stairs up the side of the building probably. And then they had to take some time to dig out a piece of somebody else's roof. Who does that? That takes a little chutzpah. Sure, I'll do it. I'll tear up his roof. You might have to travel, you know? Go somewhere. Do something different for someone else's sake. All kinds of things. You might have to spend money. Oh, my goodness. No. I'm sure they fixed that guy's roof. All right. We'll get that back for you. We'll fix it. Whatever it takes. And the biggest thing of all they did, I think, is they ignored the intimidation of those teachers of the law. Those people that everybody knew who they were. They were the suits, you know. Ooh, the $500 suits, the $2,000 suits. They ignored it. But what's the miracle that we get to do? You know, where does that come into play nowadays? Let me tell you what the miracle is. The miracle is the faith. The miracle is the love that you will show to someone else. The time you'll spend, the travel you'll make, the money you'll spend, the intimidation you'll ignore on their behalf, that is love. And love is a miracle these days. When you will put someone else before yourself, they know that something's happened in your life that makes you do that. That is the miracle. And only those who are sure of who loves them will do something like this. Yeah. So we have seen the risen Christ. So it doesn't take a physical healing. It doesn't take that kind of miracle. It takes the miracle of people being born again. It takes the miracle of faith that you say, okay, you need to be born again. Just like has happened to me. It's changed my life. Half a century, God has been blessing me because I trusted him. Did someone bring you today? Did someone bring you here because they love you? Jesus made them whole, and he wants to do the same for you. Let me just close our time with a paragraph from C.S. Lewis in the book Mere Christianity. Lewis says this, Christ says, give me all. I don't want so much of your time and so much of your money and so much of your work. I want you. I have not come to torment your natural self, but to kill it. No half measures are any good. I don't want to cut off a branch here and a branch there. I want to have the whole tree down. I don't want to drill the tooth or crown it or stop it, but to have it out. Hand over the whole natural self, all the desires which you think are innocent as well as the ones you think are wicked. Hand it over, the whole outfit, and I will give you a new self instead. In fact, I will give you myself, God says, my own will shall become yours. And that's what Jesus offers today. You come for one thing. You come looking for a healing from this or from that. And Jesus says, I know you, and I know what you need. And I will give you what you need if you will come to me. Let's pray together. Father in heaven, thank you that you took up flesh and walked among us. That you healed our bodies, but you really only did that just to show us that we needed forgiveness of sins. Because it's the healing inside that we need to begin the whole healing of ourselves. Thank you for the friends who brought us to you. Lord, make us the kind of friends who will bring others to you as well. Right now, if you have never said yes to Jesus, do that. You can do that by just reaching out to him with your heart. Say, Lord Jesus, I need you. I need to be healed by you. I need to be made whole by you. I need my sins forgiven. I need to be a new person. And only you can do that. I need your Holy Spirit in my life, sealing me now and forevermore so that I am an eternal person walking with you. If you pray that right now, you are a new person. Because you reached out in faith, you trusted him enough to say, yes, I will do that. Lord, hear those who have prayed that prayer today. We ask it for your sake, Lord. Amen. If you've prayed that prayer today, welcome to the children of God. You are part of his kingdom. You are part of his family. And I wish that you would just take a moment and write that down on one of those white cards, if you would, and drop it in the box later as you go out, or take a minute and come and talk to me here at the end of the service. Let's sing a song together, and we'll close our service just now.